following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Open your Bible to Proverbs 31. Solomon has spent 30 chapters giving a father's advice, recounting especially a father's advice to his sons. And he ends his book by saying, I got to tell you about my mama too. I got to tell you what my mama taught me. I want to run through, and I mean move through, this chapter quickly. Follow along with me. Here's what King Lemuel, which is another name, most scholars agree, it's another name for Solomon, because there was no King Lemuel in the history of Israel. There wasn't one in the kingdom in the north or the kingdom in the south. Most believe that this is Solomon, and the name that Bathsheba, his mother, used sort of as a pet name for him. His name, Lemuel, means for God. This one is for God. She had a child who passed away. This is her next boy, Solomon, one dedicated to God. And she says this, or Solomon says, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. And she said this, what, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Moms, how many of you have ever said something like that to your kids? About like that. You've said, what? What do you mean? And what's up with that? I think that's how he recalls his mother saying a few very, very important things to him at the beginning of this chapter. Things that his mother would not let him get away with without a challenge. I don't know that he learned the lesson. But he says his mother said to him, what, son of my womb? She said, I gave birth to you. I brought you into this world. And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. She doesn't say don't give your strength or all of your heart to a woman. She says don't give your strength to women. Did he learn? No. 1,000 wives, hundreds of concubines. And she says stop that. Stop that. Then she tells him to stop drinking. She says in verse 4, it's not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing or about to die to take away the pain. Wine to those who are bitter of heart, and let him drink and forget his poverty. By the way, that's not an excuse to go out if you're a little sad this afternoon and just, you know, go on a binge. He said, Mama told me, stay away from that which will destroy you. Don't give yourself to alcohol. You've got a higher call in your life than to become devastated and become in bondage to alcohol. And then listen to this. Verse 8, she says to this king, great position that he was in to do great good, she says, open your mouth. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who were appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Good advice. You be a spokesman for those who can't speak, and you care about the disenfranchised, the poor, and the needy among you. Now listen to this. I don't know if this, again, is Solomon just saying, who can find a virtuous woman, or his mom telling him how to find the right woman. And when you read this profile of the virtuous woman, the perfect woman, you're going to say the same thing that he says. Who can find someone like that? Because listen, he says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now there's the general, that kind of a woman. And then here's the specifics. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. Now, don't just generally look at your wife or your mother and say, Mom, you remind me of a boat, or you remind me of a ship, because he qualifies it. How is she like a merchant ship? Look at this. She brings her food from afar. The little corner grocery store isn't good enough for her if the produce isn't good enough. She's going to give her family and those that she's responsible to as the best food, the best diet she possibly can. So she may have to travel to the other side of town. She may have to shop around to find what she wants. She's like a merchant ship, brings food from afar. She rises while it is yet night. Notice it doesn't say she rises at dawn. It's still nighttime when she gets up. The sun hasn't begun to show its face again, but she rises while it's night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and she buys it. She's a real estate investor. She's out buying property, and not just buying property, but working the property. She considers a field, she buys it, and from her profits, she plants a vineyard. She's a farmer. She does all of this. She makes clothes. She makes the food early, early in the morning before the sun comes up. She shops for a field. She buys a field. She develops a field. She girds herself with strength. I guess she does. And it says she strengthens her arms. I guess she works out, 24-hour fitness. She's working out. She's doing the crunches. Has killer abs, I guess, this mom. I'm not sure, but she's in shape. She perceives that her merchandise is good, whatever she's making, and her lamp does not go out by night. She's burning the midnight oil. She's up before the sun comes up. I don't know when in the world she sleeps. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hand holds a spindle. She's spinning her own fabric. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's got compassion. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She doesn't panic when the snow starts coming down. She says, they've got good coats. Why? Because I made them for her. And she makes her own clothes. Look at verse 22. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. Oh, that's where he is. While she's working the field and she's buying property and she's planting vineyards and he's over in the gates. Well, it's not exactly that. Sitting in the gates was the place where the honored and the noble and the town council would meet. It means he's a respected man, and you can tell why. Because he's got such an amazing wife behind him. They're an incredible team. Her husband's known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and she sells them more than enough for herself and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Listen to this. I love this part. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Solomon has spent so much time in the book of Proverbs telling us where to get wisdom. You know that's where Mama got her wisdom, from the scriptures. And she speaks it. She doesn't know it, doesn't just know it and hold on to it. She shares it with her family, opens her mouth in wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. And she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's got no time for video games. She's got no time to waste on idle pursuits. She's got something to do, something serious to do for God. No time for idleness. Verse 28, and her children rise up and call her blessed. They better rise up and call her blessed. But not just the kids. Her husband too. Her husband also does what? Well, he also calls her blessed, and he praises her. He probably praises her to the kids. He talks about her in the gates where he's meeting with the elders. And you know, a man that's that wise is going to look her in the eyes and say, babe, there's nobody like you. There's no one that has the grace and the wisdom. And God blessed my life the day he brought you into my life. I couldn't be more thankful to him. So grateful for him. He blesses her, and he praises her. So he's got something going on, too. It's not just her. He's got something happening. But listen, many daughters have done well. He says, but you excel them all. He's saying, your girls, they're good girls, but you're better than even your girls. Mom, you are the bomb, and you are the balm as well. Charm is deceitful, beauty's passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. They'll talk about her in the gates as well. How many of you would agree that's an amazing lady? You know, the question is, where do you find someone like that? Well, I found someone like that. Now, am I going to tell you that joy is absolutely perfect? Yeah. By the grace of God, she is the perfect woman for me. So much more than I ever could have imagined. And in terms of the mother for our children, there's a lot of times when that's exactly what I say to God. Wow. Thank you, Father, for blessing my kids with the woman that you gave them. Amazing to me how good God has been to me. You look at a woman like that, no question, does that describe the toughest job in the world? When people ask you, moms, are you a working mom? Say, is there any other kind of mom than a working mom? Moms work hard whether or not they are out buying real estate as well and developing a business on the side and making clothes and planting vineyards. They're working on raising revolutionaries for the kingdom, raising kingdom agents to invade a world that, do you agree with me, it needs invasion of righteousness today. And that's the great work of motherhood. No question, it's a tough job. What an amazing plan God had when he created. On the last day of creation, he starts by making a guy. And then he leaves him alone for a while. How long? I don't know. But he gives him his first mission. He says, Adam, name everything. Name all the animals you see. And there's intention, there's purpose in it. Because it says, when he was done naming all the animals, it says this, yet there was not a mate found for Adam. You think, well, of course there wasn't a mate found for Adam. Adam comes back and there's nothing. God, everything has two. The birds have two. There's a man and there's a woman and the monkeys have two and the giraffes have two. I think the earthworms, I think they have two. I can't really get close enough to tell, but everything seems to have two. What about me? And God knocks him out. I mean, he puts him to sleep. He puts him down for a nap. And then he reaches in and he takes a rib and he fashions. The word that's used there is like the work of an artist, his hands in the clay. And he fashions the woman and he brings him to him and he wakes him up. And you can just imagine how amazed Adam is when he wakes up and he sees her. And he says, whoa, man. Say it with me, woman. Say woman. So, whoa, man. That's what it means. Whoa, man. And he sees the woman. And he doesn't look down at her. He doesn't say, that's the perfect slave for me. He says, she's just like me. She's bone of my bone. She's flesh of my flesh. He was saying, she's my equal. She's perfectly, artistically designed for me. And me for her. And then he tells him, you go and be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And today we stop to celebrate that pinnacle of God's creation, the mom, the wife, the woman. Think about God in his wisdom making male and female, the husband, the wife, the mother, and the father. It doesn't matter, you know, what language you put it in. One of the highest, most exalted names or words in any language is mom, mother. I'm going to butcher a few languages right now. Here's how you say mom in German. As somebody here is German. Can you shout it out? How do you say mother in German? Mutter. What's that again? Mutter. How do you say mother in Dutch? Mutter. Now, I was going to say it. I would have impressed you with that. Spanish, madre or mama. Farsi. I understand there's three different words for mom in Farsi, the language of the Persians. Formal is madar. Common is maman. And I don't know why it includes this. It says if you want to say it a little bit rudely, why would you want to do that? But if you want to say it rudely, nane. Macedonian, maika. Portuguese, mai. Malay, mak, ibu, bonda. Another Indian dialect, ama, ama. Polish, matka, mama, mamusia. How do you say mom in Australia? Mum, mum, happy Mum's Day, mums. Doesn't matter how you say it, that's an exalted position, an amazing thing that God has called you to do. But there's no question that when you look at that list of, I'm going to just call her Wonder Woman, okay? Because no one completely fills out every checkpoint on the bullet list. She's a merchant ship. You know what that means now. Food from afar. When in the world does she ever sleep? But she feeds her family and her servants, invests in real estate, plants vineyards. She works out. She helps the poor and the needy. She speaks wisdom to her household and no time for idle stuff. And she raises kids that say, Mom, I'm blessed that you're my mom. I look at motherhood like that, and there's no question, there's mystery. There's a number of mysteries surrounding motherhood. I want you to consider a few of them very quickly. The mysteries of motherhood, the first one is the forming. Men, we will never know anything about this. The moment you realize, moms, how many of you remember the moment you realized there's someone in there? there's an alien living in me. It's a life. How many moms, do you remember that? The wonder of that moment. It's a life. It's not a lump. It's a life. It'll become a lump when it gets to junior high school. But right now, it's a life. It's a life formed within the womb. Here's what David said about that moment. He said, "You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb, and I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." The mystery of that life that's in the womb. The second mystery after the forming is the arrival. Oh, I remember the arrival of our firstborn, Bethany, and then Shan, and then Jeremy, and then Starlin. But oh, I remember the arrival when Bethany showed up on the scene, and you're holding that little baby. How many of you ladies remember looking into the eyes of that little boy or girl? I mean, with wonder, and you were sort of captivated by them. You're looking at them, and it's just remembering, God, this is a gift from you. Can't believe what I'm looking at, holding that little, you could say thing, but you couldn't stop staring. As that child arrived, there was a woman in 1 Samuel, the beginning of 1 Samuel, who didn't have any children. And she went to the temple and she cried out. She went to the tabernacle. She cried out, "Oh, God, bless me." And she's weeping before God. And the priest thinks that she's drunk. And he chastises her. She says, "I'm not drunk. This is a broken heart. I want a son." And he says, "You're going to have a son." And this is what Hannah said when Samuel was born. She said, "I prayed for this boy, and the Lord has given me what I asked for. So I've given him to the Lord. He's given to the Lord as long as he lives." The wisest thing you can do is when that baby arrives, before you come up and Pastor Bill or Pastor Allen or Pastor Jeff or someone dedicates your child, you dedicate that child. Say, "God, this baby, this boy, this girl is yours." And can I suggest that you don't stop dedicating them to Jesus all the days of their life? That's what Hannah said. She said, "He's given to the Lord as long as he lives." There's times you want to take them back. I know there's times you want to give them away too, but there's times you want to take them back. But God is at work in their life. And on their arrival, you give thanks. Look at this next one. It's the mystery that I would call the question, "This is it? This is it?" It doesn't matter what you do. What endeavor you go after, even what occupation, you remember that fear as you step across the threshold and you wonder, "Am I adequate for this?" Moms, how many of you remember that? "Can I do this?" Especially with the first one. "Can I do this?" And then you realize as you get into it, "I can do this. I can feed this child 10 times a day. I can walk through difficulties with them. I am adequate." You could say what David said about himself. You could say this about mom, too. You are fearfully and wonderfully equipped for that job of motherhood. And God gives you everything you need to do that. I want you to see a couple of verses. Read this with me. We'll be in this one next Sunday, but let's read it right now. Psalm 121, 1 and 2. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord." You got everything you need, mom, to do a great job and a consistently great job. Philippians 4:19, this is Paul writing to believers, but this is a mom verse, trust me. Let's read it. "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." When you hit that, "Do I have it?" You have it. If you have Christ, you have all you need to do a great job of mothering those children towards him. So you trust in his strength. The fourth one is what I would just call the strength. And it's a different kind of strength than just that daily strength. Some of you have been there and you are still there. It's when those crises hit. And it's such a mystery to watch this grace, this strength show up. When you enter into something that you might even say, "God, I didn't sign up for this. And I didn't expect this." And you watch your children maybe make unwise decisions, and you watch them walk a path that you know it's not right, and your heart breaks, and you watch their suffering. How many of you, if you're new here, I do this a lot where I ask people to raise their hands if it fits. How many of you would say you entered into one of those tunnels at one time or another in your life, and you found grace that you never thought you'd have? You found strength that it even amazes you to this day that you made it through. Let me see the hands of those moms. And dads too. But you find grace that is so much more than you ever thought you were capable of. Look at this verse. I love the fact that when Paul talks about the affliction, he doesn't tell us what it was. Because if he told us what this thing was, we'd think, oh, well, there's grace for that, but not my thing. Here's what he said. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he, God, said to me, let's read this, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. And you found just that nugget of wisdom or strength, stamina. I'm watching some moms and dads walk through that right now. And just this supernatural stamina that absolutely comes from God. It's a mystery. It's a mystery, and I love to watch it happen. The fifth one, the last one, is the trust. This is hard. This is so hard, whether it's mom or dad. And by the trust, I mean the trust to let them fly, to let them go and do it. I'll never forget the night that we came back from San Diego after dropping Starlin off at university. And the house was crazy empty. Still, the love of my life was there, but our house had been filled with kids for so many years, and now it's not. And I remember sitting down in my office upstairs, and we were out in Fountain Valley, and just the questions, did I give them enough, Lord? Did I give her everything she needs to do well and to stay on course? And you have this moment where you think, it all depends on me, and did I do well enough? And I'm sure I could have done better. I'm sure I could have. But that moment where you just trust, you say, God, I give them to you. And you're more capable than I am anyway. But that mystery of being able to take this life that you love, say, God, I trust her to you now. And to look them in the eye and say, I trust you to do, as Joy will always tell them, to do great things for God. I'm trusting you to walk it out now. I mean, there's other questions. You wonder, you know, will they have enough food? Do they have enough clean underwear? And you wonder, how in the world will they get by? Will they get by? But you trust them, and you trust God in them to get it done. Those are the mysteries that for me just always surround moms. Last night when Jeff was talking to his mom from the podium here, and he said to mom, he said, now that I am married and I have children, I look at Bethany and the way she mothers our children. He says, it's still a mystery. Mom, I wonder how you did it and how you keep doing it. It never stops, does it? You continue to instruct them. I listened to Joy yesterday morning on the phone. Kind of a long conversation to begin with. I wondered, who's she talking to out there? And then I heard the one end of the conversation. I knew which one of our children she was talking to, speaking wisdom into their life. You never stop, do you? Just mothering them and loving them and instructing them and trusting them. It was just so wonderful to watch mom at this stage still mothering. And the phone call, by the way, came in. It wasn't mom saying, you need a piece of my mind. It was this child saying, Mom, I got a question for you. You just never stop. You get a break from time to time, but you never stop. I want to introduce you to my mamas. I should have an S up there. What my mamas taught me. There's a bunch of mothers in my life related to me. I'm going to give you very, very quick points on what these women taught me. My grandmother, Mary Catherine Welsh, she was as Irish Catholic as they come and was one of those big figures in my life as a little boy. I'll never forget when we would drive up to their house in Urbana, Ohio, and we'd walk in the door, and we'd make our presence known, and she was sitting in her chair in the kitchen, and when she heard our voices, it was, where's that Billy? Billy Welsh, you come here. And so I'd come across. I knew it was waiting for me in the kitchen. I would disappear in her embrace, and then she'd start to kissing me. And she'd kiss, and she'd get big, big sloppy grandma kisses. I mean, all over me, and something in me loved it, but I'd walk away, and I'd rub it off, but that woman celebrated my presence every time I stepped into her house. And she taught me about that, about celebrating the people in your life. I can never say thank you enough to Mary Catherine Welsh. She died when I was just a little boy. But there was another grandmother figure. She was my great aunt, But when my mother's mother died, when my mom was 7 years old, Anna Van Frank, we called her Annan, she stepped into the picture. She was a pretty lady, but she never married because at that time in her life, her niece and her nephew needed her. And so she just mothered them and she raised them. And the thing about Annan that always stands out for me, the thing that just defines her is this unconditional love. Just unconditional love. She wasn't a comedian. She wasn't, you know, she didn't play the guitar. She didn't, but she, you know what she did is she practiced unselfish agape love all of her life. And she loved God. We would always get brand new pajamas for Christmas that she had handmade with big, huge buttons that little fingers could work and big enough buttonholes that it was never a challenge to get into your pajamas. And you'd go to sleep at night thinking, Annan loves me. She was an amazing woman, a lot of grace in that lady's life. My mama, oh, Rita Welsh. And I could spend a lot of time on her, but you know what my mama taught me? She had a hard life. She was orphaned as a little girl, like I said, and then she made some decisions in her life that she regretted for the rest of her life. But my mama, Rita, she taught me to get up and keep going. She taught me that you don't give up. She taught me about chasing dreams. In fact, I've got this song that I just started a couple of days ago. I'm writing with my mom in mind. It's going to have to be a country song because it says something about a U-Haul trailer, but it says something like this to begin with. We loaded up the U-Haul and we headed for the West Coast because mama's chasing dreams and she's running from some ghosts. She really was. It was a part of my mom's reality that when the marriage split up, all of her church friends turned away from her and had nothing to do with her anymore. And she was a lonely woman, and she thought, maybe get with my brother out west, and maybe we can start a new life. But my mama taught me not to be afraid of horizons and to keep going towards them with some faith and with some courage. And I can't wait to hug her again because I wish I had been a more attentive son during the years that she was here. A wonderful lady. But let me tell you about my queen, Joy. And my bride, she is so much like Jesus. I've realized that one thing that's true of Jesus in my life is true of her. Without her, I can do nothing. And I mean that. I mean, I need Jesus every step of the way, and I cannot imagine taking another step without my partner, without my bride by my side. She has been so much more than my equal. And I thank God for you, babe. And I am so thankful that nearly 40 years ago, June 3rd, by the way, that Jesus brought you into my life. And that actually 41 and a half, but that I had the wisdom to marry you on June 3rd. And I'm so grateful for you. The Joy has shown me grace, personal grace, like nobody I've ever known. She's demonstrated more the forgiving heart of God than anybody in my life. And I love you for that. And I'm so grateful for you. We got our daughters, too. They're mamas. And I love watching Bethany and Shannon, Bethany Wilson, Shannon Quintana, and our daughter by marriage, Joanna Welsh. I love watching them kind of reinvent what it is to raise kids in a crazy, crazy mixed-up world. I love their faithfulness and their creativity and their grace in raising their kids and sorting out what matters and what doesn't matter. And I love that they're raising happy kids that are learning about Jesus in the midst of the celebration of their life too. That's what my mamas have taught me, but there's another mama that's taught me something too. Let's just sort of survey her life. We're kind of out of time. Read it later, would you please? In Luke chapter 1, the story about Mary and the angel. You know, the angel comes in. What's Mary doing when the angel shows up in her room? What's she planning for and preparing for? A what? It's the big W, the wedding. Maybe she's making out the guest list or thinking about the hors d'oeuvres for the reception, or maybe she's wondering what she will wear and what'll be in her hair and what the hoopah will look like over their head when they... And then suddenly in the middle of it, as she's thinking about her life and how many children she will have, the angel steps in and says, oh, well, I'll tell you about the first one. It's going to be a really special child. You're highly favored. And the scripture says when the angel spoke to her, she was troubled at his saying. And here's the lesson that I get from Jesus' mama. It's okay to be afraid a little bit. It's okay to be troubled over what you know God is revealing to you. And the Bible just said she's troubled, and then the angel explains to her, because she says, how in the world can this be? She says, I don't know a man. She's not saying, I don't know any guys in town. She's saying, I have not been intimate with a man. I'm a virgin. How can this be? How many of you would have the same question? You're going to give birth to the Son of God, and you say, well, wait a minute. I know how this works, and I haven't been there. I'm pure. She says, how can it be? Another lesson, it's okay to ask questions, even to God. You learned that from Jesus' mama. And then the angel says, oh, nothing's impossible with God. Now, ladies, you've had this conversation, you're up to this point, and you say, how can I ever have a child if I haven't been with a man? And the angel said, oh, with God it's possible. How many of you are going to say, oh, that's cool? That's all I needed to know. But the angel tells her, God has it all figured out. He's got it all figured out, and he'll get it done. And then Mary says this, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. She says, okay. There's no more argument. She says, okay, let it be. First, here's Mother Mary said to me, let it be, let it. She did. She really did say, let it be to me according to your word. She says, okay, God, okay. That's the way, then I'm going to trust God. The thing that I get from Mary there is you follow God into the unknown because he knows the unknown, and you track with him. I cannot wait to thank Mary for the lessons that she taught us. She had something to say by the way that she lived and the way that she trusted God. There's so many others I'd love to show you. Tim's mom, Timothy's mom, what she taught him. It says in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, Mama and Grandma both fed into his life and led him to this faith in Christ. She said, you must continue in the things which you learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you learned them, and that from childhood you've been taught the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. Mom, make sure that with everything you say to your kids, speak the truth of God's word to them. Elevate the beauty and the perfection of God's word. Speak it to them. Write it on index cards. Put it in their lunchbox. Not in the sandwich, but on the sandwich. Give them the word of God and live the word of God. Demonstrate that to your kids. Show them where it comes from, where the strength in you comes from. Here's a couple of other gifts for you. Write them down. Read them with me. Matthew 6:33. This is for you, Mama, and it's from God. Let's read it. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. I left something out. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. This is very important, Mom. Read the next part. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't you wish Jesus hadn't said that? I hope you're glad that he did, because he's saying, trust me, Mom, there'll be troubles tomorrow too. But let's cross that bridge when we get there. Let's work through those when we get there. Seek his kingdom and seek his righteousness. This last one too. In 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 and 7, read this one, please. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Isaac told you about his mom and the burdens that he put on her. And you know why it was a burden for his mama, for his mãe in Portuguese? You know why it was a burden? Because a mom that cares will have cares, and she'll have burdens. But what do you do with a mom? You got to roll the cares over on the one that cares for you and the one that will lift those cares. He's for you. Don't give up. I hope those gifts are as important as the lip balm to you today. To cast your cares, roll them over on Jesus, and let him continue to teach you so you can do what? Well, so you can teach your kids. I have one more thing I want to read to you. You can close your Bibles up. This came via Instagram a couple of days ago from my niece. She married my nephew, Vince. Her name is Kim Bueno, and they have four boys between the ages of just under 6 months, and I think 7 or 8 years old. That's quick. That's filling up the quiver quickly, and they did. So what I'm going to read to you is from a momentarily overwhelmed mother of four boys between 6 and 7. Listen to this from Kim. Well, oh, and by the way, there was a picture of her and her youngest, Obadiah. And she looked like she had kind of had one of those days. And she says this, "Welp, today was one of those days. Wearing workout clothes with no intention of working out, no makeup on, no clean clothes, ran errands with all four boys, messy house, breakfast for dinner because that's all we have, drooling baby with an unbuttoned onesie on all day, dirty, tired kids, and a toddler who's been taking a nap since 5, even though right now we need to leave in 3 seconds for swim lessons for the other boys. Now listen to this. But I was reminded today what a ministry I have here at home. So right now, I'm surprisingly calm, content, and thankful for all this craziness that God has given me." How many of you moms resonate with that? Are you thankful for all the craziness? Would you like the craziness to sort of subside from time to time and have a little bit of serenity, a little bit of peace? But even in the middle of it all, when I didn't know what a onesie was for sure, but even in the middle of it all, when it's been one of those days, can you just pause and say, "God, thank you for all this wonderful craziness and blessing me with the badge of honor of being mom, being mom." I want to pray for you as we close. But I want to encourage you to tell your mom thanks for enduring all of your craziness. Oh, I wish I could tell my mom face-to-face again. I really do. I wish I could wrap my arms around her and smother her with kisses and tell her how thankful I am that she, Rita, was my mama. But let's be grateful. Don't give mom nothing today. Give her gratitude. I met a young lady that works across the street at Pete's, and she's taken my order, and I noticed her forearm. It had a language I didn't understand. It looked like one phrase or one word just straight up the inside of her forearm. I said, what does that mean? What is that? She said, it's Sanskrit, and it says gratitude, because I need to remember to be grateful. So I want you to practice this with me, if you would, right now. I know there are men and women here that have mothers here, and this will fit for all of us. I just want us to say 3 things out loud as we close. You ready for this? Okay, 2 of you. I need a few more. I just won't close. I mean, I'll just keep, no. I want you to say this out loud, okay? Thank you, Mom. Trust me, she knows why. I want you to say this too, just as heartily. Please forgive me, Mom. Again, she knows why. That's probably a longer list, but she knows why. And then most importantly, I just want you to say this. I love you, Mom. And to find a way to say that personally today. Put content to that. Thank you, and I'm sorry, and I love you, Mom. And like I said, if your mom's already home, if she's not with you, take a moment and brag on her and thank God for her.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.